out and find pasture.
Okay. So he is the gate, he is the door. 1 John 1. If we could have somebody go to 1 John 1, verses 1 through 3. First letter of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Who wants to read that one? Okay.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made.
Thank you. All right, so here's, we have three things here for Jesus. One John, he's been with God since the beginning. Of course, as we have learned, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So even though they have their very distinct personalities, entities, spirits, whatever you want to call them, it's still all God. We're just blows me away. I do not understand it. And I don't think it's one of those things that's important to try to understand. Because our brains, I think, will melt. Mine certainly will. So Jesus has been with God from the very beginning. So he's part of that whole painting that took place. He is the Word of life. Everything we do is when we pray, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. His mission and vision is two parts. The first one is, he came here to seek and save the lost. I mean, that's a very bold statement. The other one is where he says, I'm the door. Works righteousness is out. The Old Testament is fulfilled. You come to me through grace. That's how you get to God. And then John 10, which goes along with this. John 10, verses 1 through 18. I'm not going to have you read it. But this is the part where he is the good shepherd. He takes care of us. He puts the 99 aside and goes after the one that's lost. That's the imagery that's up here. He goes after the one that is lost. Go ahead, Chris. See, who's got the mic? Would you please read this that's up here, this line?
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Hallelujah. So here's what we've got so far. God in the creation. Jesus is the source of our salvation. But what about the Holy Spirit? What about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is our source of action. It's our source of action. Jesus could have stayed, but he was one man. And he'd have been very, very busy going all over the earth. But he said, in order for you to grow, I have to leave. And 40 days after he left, this is when we had Pentecost in the upper room. And 120 people were baptized in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. The small flame on their heads. What a dramatic entrance by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is very, very busy. Let's go to the next slide. Where's the mic at? Let me have that. Would you read that?
The Holy Spirit is our comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener.
Is the Holy Spirit very busy?
Yes.
Sure sounds like it to me. How many of these can we all do at once? Huh, is the exact answer you should have. I try to do the best I can at all of them, but for the most part, I think I'm a miserable tenth. As far as trying to get them all done. Because we can't do everything. But at any given time, we're trying to do one of these things. But then we have the Holy Spirit who did it all. Comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, and strengthener. Thank goodness for the Holy Spirit who resides within us. Because the Holy Spirit is that source of action. Let's have the next one, Chris. Chris. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of gifts of the Holy Spirit, but these are like the primary ones. Fear of God, piety, knowledge, fortitude, counsel, understanding, wisdom. That's part of that whole plan of action. That's part of the vision of the Holy Spirit. That part of the Godhead, the Trinity, is the gifts of the Spirit. That's how we as a church operate. We not only have these gifts that we minister to one another, but we minister to the community outside these walls. Let's go with the next one. Make your move. And that doesn't mean run out of here. Okay. To make your move. Let's see. Let me have the mic. Matthew 28. Let's go to Matthew 28. I need a volunteer for Matthew 28 to read that. It's going to be verses 16 through 20. Who'd like to read that? Jenny, would you do that?
Matthew 28, verses 16 and following. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Thank you. That's the vision of the Catholic Church. The general term Catholic meaning the Church of Jesus. The Christian Church, not the Roman Catholic, but just the general term. That's the vision worldwide of what Jesus wanted us to do. What's it called? What's Matthew 28 called? The Great Commandment. Okay. So, the Great Commandment. No, the Great Commandment is love one another, right? So this is the Great Commission. That's the vision of the worldwide church. But now let's go down a little bit lower. What's the vision of the Methodist Church? Well, I had to look it up because it was page after page after page of this is the vision of the Methodist Church. But it really boils down to three or four sentences of here's our vision. And it's on page 91. You ever want to read something that will immediately put you to sleep? I guarantee you, after the preface part, you'll be sound asleep reading the Book of Discipline. And this is the new Lean Mean Book of Discipline. I look at it, never. So, here it is. It's under the conclusion. That's the best place to start. Always go to the conclusion and work your way backwards. So here's what it is. In this spirit, it's talking about our task. In this spirit, we take up our theological task. We endeavor through the power of the Holy Spirit. And who are we talking about right now? The Holy Spirit. To understand the love of God given in Jesus Christ. We seek to spread this love abroad. As we see more clearly who we have seen, as we understand more fully the needs of the world, as we draw more effectively upon our theological heritage, will we become better equipped to fulfill our calling as the people of God? There was a lot there. I think it would have been better if they had just said, Matthew 28, look up, Great Commission. That's what I would have done. Because this really puts, this humanizes the Great Commission. So that's the vision of the Methodist Church. And thank you. That's a nice segue because we're getting there. Give her the mic. Where are we at? Thanks, Jenny. Janice, I do not want you to be unscathed in this. Or scorched. Somewhere in the middle.
Well, we were trying to find a ways to describe our church and names and everything. This is what we came up with. We are a community based on faith, and our purpose is to create a safe place that intentionally equips people to grow spiritually and to serve others.
How many of you remember that? Well, I don't.
That was a long... You weren't here. It was a long time.
Okay. So the vision is nice, but I'm sure you had a lawyer draw that up.
No.
We had
That was a condensed version.
Okay. So the reason there's paneling on the walls is because underneath was a full-length church. Here's what we want as you guys were brainstorming. So here's what I think. You don't have to pay any attention to it. You could say, well, that's just the pastor talking. He has no sway in what we do. But here's kind of the vision. This is what I've shared with you over the last several months this summer. And remember, those of you that were here, I had a lighthouse up here when I was talking about it. I have mentioned several times over the last several months this summer the vision that I see for us. One is that the Holy Spirit resides here in all its glory. I mentioned the Holy Spirit a lot. In all its glory. And we embrace the filling of in us and the outpouring of the Spirit. That's part of the vision of this church, is the moving in the Holy Spirit. The other thing is that we are to be the lighthouse of truth in our area of the community. Now, our immediate community is actually these five buildings that are out here and the older ones that are over here. This is our community. This is where we need to be evangelizing. Now, I don't know about you, but I had about 250 business cards made. And I could have put all the fancy verses on them, and that would have cost a lot more money. But what I do instead is I carry, I don't know, 10 or 12 in my wallet at all times. And when I'm talking to people, I just give them with a smile on my face, a twinkle in my eye, and a heart full of mischief. I give them my business card. So, for instance, when we had the parking lot out here being worked on this week, I took the time to talk to every one of those guys that were out there. I sicked myself on them. Little did they realize that I looked at them as the mission field. So I was giving each one of them a talk, and I'd say, here's my business card. Please call. Please come to church. What I found is most of them are going, I haven't been in church in years. That's good. Come on back. The roof will not cave in. There will be bells sounding and angels going hallelujah when you show up. Well, they're not here. But one of them is a backslidden Christian. Died in a wool Christian. He says, I haven't been in church for a long time. I said, wonderful. Come on back. We don't bite. We have lots of coffee. We're Methodists. You know, I said, come on in. So that's part of my mission is I'm handing out business cards. I'm talking to them. I ask them, is there something you want me to, can I pray for you? What can I do to help, without telling them this, what can I do to help make a difference in your life? So that's part of my vision is with a smile on my face, causing chaos in their otherwise quiet lives. So let's go to the next one. The fruit of the Spirit. Who wants to read this one? Janice. Up there.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I can't read.
Faith.
And what is it? Gentleness and self-control.
There's one more. It's called laughter.
Sorry. I can't.
All right. She's done for the rest of the day. Okay, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Remember I said the Holy Spirit is the action. That's the energy. That's what makes things happen. God created, Jesus saved us, the Holy Spirit is here going, well, let's put the mixer on a little higher speed. Let's see what we can do. So, what kind of gifts are you practicing? We've had gifts. What kind of fruit are you practicing right now? What kind of fruit? So, you may be working on several at the same time. You may not realize it. Let's go to the next one. Okay, in case you've wondered what's the difference between gifts and fruit, here it is. Gifts are freely given. Fruits are the result of the process. Spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit gives. With spiritual fruit, he gets. When you are born again, when you are born again and you have that infilling of the Holy Spirit, you are given a ministry. You are given gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God's not going to let those gifts go away in your life. Not. Let's do the next one. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. This is where it boils down to you and me and all of us, not just in this church, but in the Christian world. What are we doing that God can use us? Well, let's take a half step back and go, there's some changing that needs to take place in me, meaning us individually, in order for God to use us. A lot of things have happened in this congregation in the last 15 months. A lot of things have happened. I've told you this. When we came in, when Raquel and I came in here, there was a lot of fear. There was hopelessness. There was all sorts of things running amok in here. But in the last 15 months, I have seen fruit coming to bear. I've seen hope. What I've seen more than anything is a calmness, a relaxation in the spirit. The anxiety and the fears are just not present. Doesn't mean they don't pop up, but they're not present like they used to be. Now, let's bring it to the last week. Out here, we have a parking lot that's been redone. It looks nice. Alvin, thanks for pushing it. We got it done. It's been resurfaced. It's been patched. It's been repaired. And we even got stripes. So now you guys know where you're supposed to park. Park between the lines. Thank you, Jill. There's another section out there in the corner. In the southwest corner, there's all these hash marks out there. Nice big square. The dumpster's going to go there. Don't park there, because when the garbage guy comes on Monday morning, he's going to think you're the dumpster. Into the back of the truck you go. But there's a lot of positive changes going on. We're getting ready to do some painting on the front end entrance as far as the door, the trim, that sort of thing. We're going to go from funeral dirge colors to something bright and cheery and put a skip into your jump and all that kind of stuff. The last thing, too, is in case you hadn't noticed, there are some things missing up here. And I was grateful for Jason to be on top of that ladder. Thank you, Jason. Was your insurance paid up to date? Yeah, sketchy. So here's what happened. We're wanting to remodel the front end. So we're doing it. Well, Tuesday afternoon, every once in a while your pastor goes, I've had enough. I'm going to force the issue. And so I went to the curtain on the left side, and I said, all right, let's see if I can pull this a little bit, and I tug it. I didn't tug it very much. I just gave it a little tug, and the whole thing fell down. I go, yeah, I'm on to something here. Oh, yeah. Now, the other one on either side of the screen wasn't so willing to comply with my desires. And so I brought from the parsonage, the aluminum extension ladder. Well, I got most of the way up, but then I realized that that ladder kind of bows, and I thought I was at Lagoon. So there's this bowing back and forth, and me not enjoying the ride. That's why I didn't become an airborne paratrooper in the Army. I didn't like it. So I decided, no, I'm gonna call on Jason, because he's not afraid of anything. Yeah, he's a soccer coach. He's not afraid of anything. So I had already cut the majority of the fabric down. He came in, and so Wednesday night, we finished ripping the rest of it out. Now, to continue the adventure of change, I decided I'd go up through the hatch in that back hallway there where we store the candles and that sort of thing. I go, let's go up inside there. Now, Alvin's bouncing around somewhere in this church. I'm up inside there, and I'm stepping from rafter to rafter. I wasn't quite to the point of my knees knocking, but I was close because I knew I was about 10 or 12 feet off the ground, and if I went through the drywall, I was going to hit a floor. It's a sudden stop that makes me nervous. Oh, but wait, the worst comes. So the back wall behind the screen, I realize I need to climb that so I can see what kind of shape our tiles are in as everybody looks at the tile. Yeah. So I'm up there. I reach up over the top, and I feel like I'm climbing into a lifeboat. And so I go up to the top, and I look down, and I see where some of these tiles have separated from stringers and that sort of thing. But at the same time, this massive urge for self-survival kicked in. And I started my way back down. In the meantime, Alvin goes, are you up there? And this little voice from the dark goes, yes. So I came back down. But we had to do that sort of thing. Sometimes going to scary places so that we can see what needs to be done. And that's the way it is for us. Is when you invite, and I kid you, but when I say game on with God, sometimes we have to let that little searching take place so that we know where God might be headed to help us grow. A couple of raccoons, but no mice. No, there wasn't anything up there. No. I'd have been throwing them down. Here, Alvin, catch. Okay, Acts 2. Let's go to Acts 2. We're almost done here. Acts 2 in your Bible. And who wants to read this, Jason? Let's go to Acts 2. Acts, I'm getting there. What can we do in our church and community? Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts 2, verses 42 to 47.
Okay. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Look at that as the goal of our church. Look at that as the goal of our church. The teaching, the breaking of bread, the worshiping. The fellowship. That's part of who we are. That's what makes us. And finally, what can I do outside the church? What is the Lord asking you to do? Each one of us is different. Each one of us has a different vision for what we should do as Christians outside. Part of the mission field could be something as simple as soccer. Right, Jason? What ministry? Lisa and Carol, who's not here, yours is teaching. What impact do you have on those young people? And it's true for each of us. How about our neighbors, people we meet on the street? Facebook, when it hasn't been violated by hackers. But Facebook works really, really well. But grab some of my business cards. Hand them out. Hand them out. Say, don't call me. Call Dave. You know, but call the pastor. Invite these people to church, because we take everybody. We don't care who it is. We take everybody. And finally, the last one. Who wants to read that one? No, this is good. Yeah. be the change you wish to see in the world. Yeah. The Great Commission applies to each one of us individually. Embrace it. Take it. Run with it. Have fun with it. And if you stumble, stand back up and keep on going. Don't be afraid. Amen. Amen. Let's do offering. And then, let's see. Larry, would you go get a chair?